Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
Good to see some of you coming back from outside Louisiana, coming back home for the holiday, and some of you just returned from home in your native homeland. And as you all know, this is the first message for 2010. And this is the beginning of the new year. There's a Chinese common saying that says that 万事起头难, 好的开始是成功的一半. You guys understand what I was talking about? It was Mandarin, okay? And I'm Chinese. Let me interpret that for you. What that means is that I think this is true. Everything, every great path seems to be difficult in the beginning. But if you can have a good beginning, good start, you are halfway to success. That means a good beginning paves the way for you to succeed. If you can have a good start and you continue and stay in it, most likely you will succeed. In the beginning of the new year, we are all expecting to have a better year than last year. And we started setting New Year resolutions. I'm not sure what are your New Year resolutions. What do you want to achieve this year? Maybe some of you have already started on New Year's Day, the first day of the year, and then you have tried something different. Something that you believe by doing that will help you to get where you want to be at the end of the year. Maybe some of you to want to be healthier, to be stronger, to be fitter, and you say that this year I'm going to exercise, I'm going to work out every day so that I can be healthier and stronger and fitter. See, some of you probably do have this New Year resolution. You know what? You might start with a lot of energy and motivation the first day of the year, but usually when it gets to the end of January, you will start feeling it's too hard to do it every day consistently, and you are about to give up. You just want to give up because it's too hard. At the same time, there are some old bad habits that you carried over from last year that continue to be obstacles for you to achieve what you want to achieve. While you try to exercise, work out to be fitter physically, maybe also mentally and spiritually, at the same time, too much time with surfing the web, too much time watching TV, too much time to just sit in the couch doing nothing. These are obstacles. And there are other things that you have hidden from other people. You know those are shameful, those are sinful, and those often control you so that you cannot do what you have resolved to do. How can we have the power to overcome all those old bad habits and have the power to have a good start for the year and stay in this power for the rest of our year so that we can have a powerful new year? How about that? Have a powerful new year. Today, through Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to verse 13, God will show us how we can receive this great power for the new year and how we can stay in this great power for us to do what God wants us to do that is the best for us for the new year. The scriptures, please go back to the slides or on the slides, and you can also open your Bible to Acts chapter 2 verses 1 to verse 13. Acts, okay? New Testament, the fifth book in the New Testament, Acts. We'll learn four things. The first two are the requirements for we to receive this great power from God. And the next two things are two results of receiving and using this power and staying in this power from God. First, we want to have a good powerful beginning, but a powerful beginning requires prayers. Acts chapter 2 verse 1 says that when the day of Pentecost came, they, the apostles and disciples mentioned in Acts chapter 1 verse 15, they were about 120 disciples at that time. And they were all together in one place together, like now we are gathering in one place. But they were also gathering in one place that should be a very big house. They were gathering together. What they were doing there? But first, let's understand, when was Pentecost? What is Pentecost? You might have read this passage before, and you probably still do not have a clue. What is Pentecost? When was Pentecost? Pentecost is a word that was translated from Greek, meaning 50th. And Pentecost marked the 50th day after Passover. And according to my research and studies and calculations, Pentecost was a Jewish harvest festival to celebrate a good harvest and then to offer to God the first fruits to express their thankfulness. And Jesus Christ, guess when was Jesus Christ crucified? According to my calculations, Jesus Christ was crucified on the 8th day after Passover. There is Passover, and there will be 7 days to celebrate Passover. And after that, Jesus Christ was crucified. And it was the 8th day after Passover, Jesus Christ was crucified. And guess when was Jesus Christ resurrected? 8th day, 9th day, 10th day. On the 3rd day, Jesus Christ was resurrected. And there was the 10th day after Passover, Jesus Christ was resurrected. And according to Acts chapter 1, we read that Jesus Christ spent 40 days after he was resurrected to share with them about the kingdom of God and about what God will do through the Holy Spirit. For 40 days, he showed proof that he was resurrected, and he shared with his disciples about the kingdom of God. So that's another 40 days, okay? Starting from the 10th day, 40 days, that's 49th day after Passover. And then Jesus Christ ascended into heaven. At the end of last message, we saw that those disciples were stunned seeing Jesus Christ like a Superman arising into heaven, being taken up into heaven. The same way he left, the same way he will come back again. But the disciples were not to just sit there seeing this amazing view, amazing things God has achieved through Jesus Christ. They were to be his witnesses, as we learned last time. That is the most important mission that God has given to each one of his disciples. And then on the 50th day, that is the day of the Pentecost, after Jesus Christ ascended into heaven. The next day, the Holy Spirit came. The day of Pentecost. And what were those apostles and disciples doing at that time, on the day of Pentecost? They were together in one place. But what were they doing? If we read the chapter before this, we will have a clue. Acts chapter 1 verse 12. If you have your Bible, you can look at Acts chapter 1 verse 12 to 14. It tells us, after they have seen the stunning view of Jesus being taken up into heaven, then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were 11 apostles, except Judas, who betrayed Jesus. Verse 14, they all joined together constantly in prayer. They all joined together as one unit, one body, constantly, non-stop. Whenever they can, they prayed. along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. See, as believers of Jesus Christ, knowledge of who Jesus Christ is and what he did for us on the cross is crucial. That is like the body of our faith. But what is the mind, the heart, and the spirit of faith? That is an attitude, a trusting attitude in what Jesus Christ did for us and what Jesus Christ will continue to do for us. That is the essence of faith. It's a trusting attitude in our hearts. If we do have faith in Jesus Christ, we will have initially said, Jesus Christ, there's no way for me to save myself. I am a sinner. I deserve to be punished into hell. But Christ died for my sins and rose from the dead. He is my only way to be saved. I'm willing to receive what he did for me, for the forgiveness of all my sins. That's the only way. I'm willing to trust Christ alone to be saved. And then you continue, as you live your daily life, you see that there is a great power in each one of us that tries to overcome us. And there's a great power outside of us in the world that tries to overcome us, that ultimately has its origin in Satan, the devil, either inside the sinful nature or outside the world, the patterns of this world, the value, everything is trying to conform us to the values of Satan. As a result, we see that we have no power to fight against Satan unless we stay in the power of God. And we constantly have this attitude, God, I can't do it by myself. I can't do it with my own power. I trust Jesus. I depend upon the power that Jesus Christ has provided for me to overcome the world and my own sinful nature, so that I can have a powerful new year. To have a powerful beginning for 2010, and to be able to stay in this power, the key is to be willing to join together constantly to pray to God with this attitude that, God, we can't do it ourselves. We need to depend upon you to do what you have prepared for us to do. What has God prepared for us to do? If you were here last time, let me ask you, what is the most important mission or what God wants us to do for our life, for the new year, and for the rest of our life? What is the most important mission? That means what to do so that you will not feel lost, you will not feel losing direction. You will not feel, I'm not motivated because I don't know what to do. But God has given us through Jesus Christ, after he has resurrected, before he ascended into heaven, he gave the most important mission for all his disciples. If you miss this, and you don't do this, and you do many other things, you have failed as a disciple of Jesus Christ, as I mentioned. Then what is this most important mission? Any volunteer? Anyone who heard the message, actually thought about it, and still remember the message? If you have done it already, it's impossible that you don't remember. Anyone? Chinese people, do I always have to call your names when I ask a question for you to answer? Frank. Were you here last time?
Yeah.
Okay. So, do remember, what is the most important important mission Jesus Christ has given to all his disciples before he ascended into heaven?
To go and spread the gospel.
Okay. Which verse is it?
I'm not sure.
You're not sure? It's in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This is believed to be the theme verse of the whole book of Acts. And this is the most important mission that God has given to all His disciples. Let me read it to you. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. It says that Jesus Christ said that, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Most of you in Sunday school classes should have memorized John 3:16. That's for salvation. But you know what? After you're saved, I recommend that you memorize this so that you will always be reminded what to do as someone who is saved through faith by grace, this undeserved favor from God. What are we supposed to do? That's in Acts 1:8. To simplify, it has told us two things: that we need to stay in the power of the Holy Spirit for us to be witnesses of Jesus Christ, to tell people who Jesus Christ is, what He did on the cross, and what it means to believe in Jesus Christ, to be able to have eternal life with God instead of being condemned because of our own sins into hell. If you have believed, then you are a witness. You should have witnessed this grace, this gift from God. And it's time for you to also share this gift with God instead of keeping that to yourself. And that's what Jesus Christ wants all of us to do. Not just in Baton Rouge, for it says that in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, further and further away to the ends of the earth. It is a global mission. Not just Baton Rouge, but outside Baton Rouge, to the ends of the world. It's my, God has put in my heart that not only should I go to, I've been to Panama, I've been to mainland China, I've been to Taiwan, I've been to the Philippines, I also want to go to India and other places that there is a need for the gospel. And it's not by my power that I can do it. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit. I can be the witness of Jesus Christ. How do we accomplish this? Again, a review. How do we accomplish this? By staying in the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the secret. Through continual prayer, we pray for three things, remember. Bow, B-O-W, three things for being a witness for Christ. B for boldness, because we are often in fear when we talk to people about Jesus Christ, especially to strangers, especially someone who is big and strong, we are scared. Boldness. Oh, for obedience, we have the boldness. Ultimately, we need to obey the Holy Spirit's guidance. The Holy Spirit says, go share the gospel with this person. This person might be very fearful to you, but go. Are you willing to obey? And W, wisdom. Because each person is different. They have different backgrounds. They have some different value systems. They might already have been brainwashed by the world and its values. So you need wisdom to help that person to see this spiritual truth about the only hope of mankind that is in Jesus Christ. They don't get it. You need to have wisdom from God to help these people to understand this truth. Continually pray. Bow. Pray for boldness, obedience, and wisdom. See, a powerful beginning, if you indeed want to have a powerful beginning for your new year, the first requirement is continual prayer. Joint prayer together, not just one person. Now look up. Don't look down. Are you willing to continually pray every day, whenever you can, you pray to ask God to help me? Are you willing to have this attitude for the rest of the year and for your life? If you have this attitude, I want to say that you would receive the power from the Holy Spirit. Nod your head if you're willing, like this, so I see. Shake your head if you're not willing. At least I only see people shaking. No, nodding their head. See, you're willing. Then we're ready to the second requirement to have a powerful beginning for the new year. A powerful beginning also requires control by the Holy Spirit. Not just receiving the Holy Spirit, but to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Verse 2, read. Here is something amazing that happened in history that is recorded here, seen by eyewitnesses. Verse 2, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Verse 3, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues or languages as the Spirit enabled them. Do you know, the wind in the Bible symbolizes the activity of the Holy Spirit. Do you know that the word spirit in Greek and Hebrew means wind and breath? How about fire? Fire symbolizes the powerful presence of God. As you read the Bible, you see that. So the Holy Spirit came, and the powerful presence of the Holy Spirit was with the apostles and the disciples at that time. How about the separation of the tongues of fire and resting on each of their heads? That's a little bit weird, right? What does that mean? In the Old Testament, God's presence was always with the nation of Israel as a whole and with certain leaders who were instructed to do God's will. So just a few selected leaders could have that personal presence of God with them. But you know what? What is happening here seems to suggest that in the New Testament, God's Spirit is willing to be with each individual believer. Each individual believer can have the privilege of having the powerful presence of God's Spirit with them. And each individual believer joined together in the body of Jesus Christ if they all are willing to not only to receive the Holy Spirit after they have believed, but also to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. I cannot imagine how powerful we will be as witnesses of Jesus Christ. How many people we have in the whole church? More than 120. How many people were there at that time? 120 disciples and 11 apostles at that time, but they were able to preach the gospel to even us, Chinese people, to the ends of the world. You see the power of the Holy Spirit. If you are willing to receive it and stay in the power by being willing to be controlled, as we learned earlier from Ephesians chapter 5, 18, to be filled with the Holy Spirit means to be willing to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. If you have already believed in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have already received the Holy Spirit according to the Scriptures. Whoever believes in Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, the promised Holy Spirit will be with that person. John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39. If you have a Bible, you can open your Bible to the full book in the New Testament. And this year, we will get familiar with God's Word by opening your own Bible. John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39. Let me read it. John chapter 7, verse 37. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. At that time, the believers of Jesus Christ first believed and then waited for a while before they were able to receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit was waiting for Jesus Christ to be crucified and then to be resurrected and then to be ascended into heaven. But now, after that was done, the Holy Spirit does not need to wait for that to happen again, so whoever believes in Jesus Christ will immediately receive the Holy Spirit. That is also called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to receive the Holy Spirit so that we can experience the fullness of God through God's Spirit in our heart. But how about those, the wind, the sun, and the fire? Why did that happen at that time? It was because Jesus Christ promised that they would receive the Holy Spirit and they needed to have a sign, or they probably wouldn't even know that the Holy Spirit had come upon them. But nowadays, do we still see people, when they believe in Jesus Christ, they hear a loud wind and their fire will be on top of their head? No, we don't see that anymore, because there's no need for such sign to tell us that initially the Holy Spirit has come upon all the believers of Jesus Christ, that is the church. We have all received the Holy Spirit. But the question is, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you controlled by the Holy Spirit 100% of the time in all areas of your life? Are there areas in your life that you say, no, Holy Spirit, don't enter this area of my life? Could that be entertainment, recreation? Could that be relationship with your friends, with your family, or with your co-workers, schoolmates? Those are the areas you say that I just want to control my own life. Holy Spirit, do not touch my life in those areas. If you have that attitude, if you have reservations about where, what the Holy Spirit can control in your life, you cannot experience this power from the Holy Spirit. Are there shameful, sinful, oh, bad habits from last year that you have carried into this year that you are still practicing, that you are not willing to let the Holy Spirit to help you to take them away? If you have those, I'm afraid, even if you have the Holy Spirit, you are not able to experience the power from the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of holiness, who does not tolerate sin. The Spirit of power will flow in us and through us if we are willing to submit to the Holy Spirit's control 100% of the time in all areas of our life. Just think about your life. In the beginning of the year, is there anything that you are keeping to yourself? You are not letting the Holy Spirit to control, to manage, and on the outside you can still come to the church, but when you go back to your home or your own private life during the weekdays, you are a totally different person. You let those things control you. You might come to the church as a sheep. When you go home, you are like a wolf. Are we sometimes like that? That's the time for us to come to God and ask God for forgiveness. Now it's time to nod your head or shake your head again. Are you willing? Are you willing to let the Holy Spirit to control your life 100% of the time in all areas of your life, so that you can experience this power to transform your life, to live a holy life, either in your marriage, in your family, in your school, in your personal life, in the society, in the community, everywhere you go? If you do that, then you're ready to experience the power of the Holy Spirit for you to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Here comes the two results of a powerful beginning. A powerful beginning results in powerful witnessing for Jesus Christ. Verse 5. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, the crowds came together in bewilderment. They were a little bit confused, didn't know really what was going on, but they were amazed. It was something extraordinary, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. I speak English, I speak Mandarin, I speak Cantonese, and was born to speak another Chinese dialect that's called Taizhou. Okay, I was born in a little city called Taizhou. If I'm a non-believer and someone comes to me and speaks to me, share the gospel with me in Taizhou, I would be very surprised and amazed. And guess what? That probably was the language that I feel most intimate with. That's my heart's language. That's why these people were amazed. Verse 7. Utterly amazed, they asked, are not all these men who were speaking Galilean? These are just Galileans. Okay? And then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? And then verse 9 to verse 10 is a list of the nations at that time in the Roman Empire. And the apostles, the disciples, were not born to speak those languages. They never learned how to speak those languages. And yet, when the power of the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they were controlled by the Holy Spirit 100%, they were able to speak languages that they could not speak before in order to witness for Jesus Christ. Galileans, you might not know much about Galileans, but those religious people, those educated people in Israel, they despise Galileans because they speak with accents and pronunciations that they feel they are uneducated people. They are not spiritual. They are just focusing on business, doing things of the world, not what is religious. That's why these people, they could not believe that such people could have such power. But the reality is, let me ask you, who here admits to be just an ordinary girl or boy, woman or man? I'm ordinary. Who is a genius? Put up your hand. Who admits to be a genius? Well, I saw one there. There is a genius there. So praise God for having a genius here. You know what? Most of us are ordinary people. You might want to be the president of the United States in the future. Guess what? I'm not sure if that will happen. We might have dreams, but ultimately, we are all very ordinary people. But guess what? God uses ordinary people when they are willing to receive the power from the Holy Spirit and stay in the power of the Holy Spirit by being controlled 100% of the time in all areas of their life, so that they can do extraordinary things, even greater than what a president can do. That is the promise of God. If you truly want to be extraordinary, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Be a witness of Jesus Christ. This is what the Galileans were experiencing. And this is what I have experienced since I became a believer of Jesus Christ. This is true. This year, in your life, prayerfully ask God to help you in all areas of your life. Be controlled by the Holy Spirit. In everything that you do, do it thankfully. Do it also prayerfully. Because of what Jesus Christ did for you. So you are willing to live for Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do it thankfully. Do it 100%, maybe 120% of everything that you do for God, for Christ. That means you need to study diligently, but not to get straight A's so that people will praise you. Oh, good student, you are such a smart student. But you do that because you want to do that so that you can please God. You are faithful as a student. And then people will be surprised. Why are you so good as a student? You can tell people that I did it because Jesus Christ loved me so much. And I want to honor him in what I do. And guess what? You too can receive Jesus Christ, trust Jesus Christ, and experience the same power I'm experiencing? If you see your friends who are struggling with their studies or in their life, you help them in love. And that is the time that they will practically experience the love of God, and you are also witnessing not only with your words, but with your loving deeds. That is also very powerful, because people not only need to hear, they also need to see, and also need to hear, to experience this before they believe. The second result, a powerful beginning results in conversion to or rejection of Christ. Verse 12, amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, what does this mean? What does this mean? The 100% spirit-controlled, powerful witnesses by the apostles and the disciples of Jesus Christ produced in the north unbelieving people a desire to understand more about Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ did for mankind. That's why these people started feeling amazed and perplexed, and they start seeking. They want to know the truth. As they continue to seek, they will be found by the love of God in Jesus Christ, and they will believe. As described in Acts chapter 2, verse 14 to 39, if you continue to read it, go home, read that in detail. And what happened there? The apostle Peter preached a powerful sermon. What happened? 3,000 people believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior. After Peter preached a sermon telling the people who Jesus Christ, what he did for him, and how he fulfilled the prophecies in the Old Testament. Do you see the power of the Holy Spirit? When someone is willing, a fisherman, okay, Peter? Ordinary man, to be willing to be used by God through the power of the Holy Spirit. But I also want to remind you, it's exciting to see people coming to faith in Jesus Christ. But you also need to be reminded that and you need to be prepared that when you go to witness for Jesus Christ, some people will reject you. Verse 13. Some, however, even made fun of them, seeing this great amazing power in the apostles and the disciples. They made fun of them and said, they have had too much wine. These people are drunken. They're doing these weird things because they are drunk. Can you believe that? Some people seeing these amazing things immediately see that as the power of God. Other people say they are drunken. When you go share the gospel with people, if you are not prepared for rejection, it can feel like this. You share the gospel with someone, someone say, I'm not willing to believe. This is nonsense. Sorry, please don't tell me anymore about Jesus Christ. And you can feel so upset, rejected, and you feel that I am a loser. I don't have a gift for sharing the gospel with people. That's why people are rejecting me. And you say, I'm not going to share the gospel with people anymore. It's too embarrassing. You know what? You are not a loser. If you are willing to prayerfully depend on the power of the Holy Spirit to share the gospel in boldness with these lost people, who is the real loser? The losers are those people who are not willing to follow Jesus Christ's most important command, the most important mission that Jesus Christ has given to all disciples, and then they sit around and then they criticize people doing it not the right way. This is not the right way to do it, but they are not doing it themselves. They just enjoy criticizing people. These are the losers. Those who are willing to be used by God to overcome the fear and then go boldly share the gospel, even facing rejection as Jesus Christ did. As here, even the apostles and the disciples, with the power of the Holy Spirit coming on to them with the signs, what they could see, those people still would reject. This is the reality. When you share the truth, some would receive it, believe it, some will reject it. So you need to be prepared for rejection when we go share the gospel and witness for Jesus Christ. What's the responsibility of the witness? If you are a witness, you go to court, what's your responsibility? You simply tell the judge what you have seen, what you have experienced, you express that. That's it. You are not responsible for sentencing that person. Similarly, when you share the gospel, as a witness, you just tell people with your love and also with God's word through the gospel about Jesus Christ. This is your responsibility. Your responsibility is not for that person to believe. This is the responsibility of that person and also through the power of the Holy Spirit to work in that person. According to statistics, most people have to hear the gospel 7 times before they understand the gospel and that they are willing to believe. Guess what? You might be the first person, the first time share the gospel with a person, with a friend, with a family member. Well, if you are the 7th person, then the person will believe, but most of the time you might just be the 1st person, 2nd, maybe just 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, so you don't see any results. But that's okay. You know what? That person is on his way to understanding the gospel, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, that person will finally believe. So don't give up when you see rejection, when you share the gospel with people, when you witness for Jesus Christ, what he has done for you. In conclusion, a powerful beginning has 2 requirements. A powerful beginning requires PC, personal computer. No, P stands for prayers. C stands for control by the Holy Spirit. 2 requirements. A powerful beginning would have 2 results. PC, not personal computer. P stands for powerful witnessing for Jesus Christ. The first result. The second, conversion to Jesus Christ. Or rejection. Now, as a quick review, a powerful beginning has 2 requirements. What are those 2 requirements? P, C, control. 2 results. P, powerful witnessing for Christ. The second result, conversion. The first C is control, the second is conversion. The first P is prayer, the second P is powerful witnessing. Chinese people say, 万事起头难, 好的开始是成功的一半. Now you understand what that means, right? Everything, every great task, when you do it, it's very difficult in the beginning. Whatever you're trying the first time, and it is a huge task, it's difficult in the beginning. But if you have a good beginning, it will be easier for you when you continue to diligently work on it. But in the process, you need power. But God has given us power to do what is the most important in His eyes, to be a witness of Jesus Christ. And we have learned how to receive this power, how to stay in this power, and then how to experience this power with 2 powerful results. You have nodded your heads that you were willing to do it for God, for Christ. Then let's pray. Continue to ask the Holy Spirit to help us through the process, starting with a willing heart. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your blessing for another year, for your protection for another year. We could not even have lived through it without your grace, your power, sustaining our lives, providing everything that we need for our lives. Either it be sunlight, air, water, everything that we need for food and our job. Everything, a home, a house, school, work, everything is from you. We thank you for your love. Not only your love to sustain our physical life, but also your love to sustain our spiritual life through Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and rose from the dead. This year, we have received, we have heard, we have understood what is the most important mission Jesus Christ has given us before he ascended into heaven after his resurrection. God, would you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, continue to help us stay in this power through continual prayer, in control 100% in every aspect of our life by the Holy Spirit, so that we indeed can experience great power from the Holy Spirit and have a powerful year for your glory alone. Our prayer is in the name of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.